Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And Leo. And tonight we have George Dixon with us. And he's going to talk about, I'm not sure actually what we're going to talk about fully, but he will
enlighten us.
Good evening, George. How are you?
Good evening, Leo.
Good evening, George.
Good evening,
Lila.
You with us?
Yeah, I'm still here. How are you doing?
Good.
Oh, good.
I miss you folks.
Oh, well, that's... last... it's nice to be missed.
It's nice to take a break every now and then. It really is.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, I think you guys need a break. I mean, you do a hell of a lot, you know, not only with the radio, but, you know, other activities.
Yeah, and there's those activities of daily life that never go away. Like working and paying bills and grocery shopping, all those things that we have to do.
Yeah. What have you decided the topic tonight? Did you want to talk about the Mayans or? Where are we on the timeline right now, George?
On the timeline, what's happening is that on November, I think the 5th, we are going to be starting the sixth night. So we're just closing up the sixth day. That's what we're experiencing right now.
Well, on the timeline, though, like 1968, 1972, where are we?
The
parallel, yeah.
Yeah, about 1970, 71.
Okay.
Oh, that was an interesting year.
What we're experiencing now is the finishing up of the sixth day. Things that are coming to the open have been exposed for what they are. And on the sixth night is when basically it's just going to totally fall apart. One example, I think, right now, the news media is how they're now at each other's throats, even with the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think what's happening is that, you know, the friction is coming out openly and exposing it for what it is.
Well, also, I had read some months ago, and when I was listening to news, it was just brought up again, that Obama is talking about bailing out newspapers.
Bailing out newspapers?
Yep. I mean, that's the old way of getting the news. I think that's looking backwards.
Mm-hmm.
I think newspapers are great things. I love them. I've read them my whole life. But I don't think that that's really the future of how to get news on the track that we're on.
Well, in communicating now, the Internet has really taken over. And even the news itself, you know, it's without the Internet, you know, it wouldn't be able to survive. But I think people now are seeing the news for what it is, instead of the selected views that they want known and things they don't want known. With the Internet, you can find that news see for yourself.
Right. And whereas before, you read a newspaper a few years back, maybe 20 years ago, really question the bias in that newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of read it and thought that was it.
Yeah.
Whereas today I think people are a lot more critical of what they read and what people are saying and what their opinions are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a good thing.
News is news is news, but...
Is it George or what?
Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Leo wanted to know if you thought that was a good thing, that we have a different way of hearing and understanding information, and it kind of, it can make you, and I think it's made the American public, at least a segment of it, they're becoming critical thinkers about what they're reading and hearing.
To some degree, yeah. And
which before you never heard much controversy about
but
that.
But still, the frightening thing, and the frightening thing is that as many areas and many avenues of information that we can that we get, we're still by many many critics around the world, we're still very isolated in our by our news media, and we're very isolated by our. Xenophobic attitudes, you know, that you know, might makes right, and the United States is right, and not that
xenophobic attitude. Is that what you called it?
No, that's what we are. We're everybody but us is wrong, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. That is basically what we are.
In December, Obama is set to sign the Copenhagen Treaty. And that may change.
Yeah, that's a very, very frightening thing. Because
that may change the how the American people think about things.
Well,
it's going to be a very bad thing for us.
Well, it's going to sign over our sovereignty in a treaty. Now,
that's
that,
right. Mm-hmm.
That happened. I just heard tonight on the news that that does not look positive at all, and it looks like Congress is not going to go along with that, which I hope they don't. But
But that's the track that Obama's on.
But what's scary, yeah. But Obama's
a globalist.
He's a globalist. He's a one world order guy. He's a pain in the royal butt. And I'm really really more frightened of this guy than I was of George Bush. George Bush was a walking talking moron. But this guy has a little bit of intelligence with him. But he's so sunk into this new world order business. And that it scares the death out of me.
Leo, let me ask you something. Who do you think are the good guys and who are the bad guys?
There are no good guys anymore. You know, where are the good guys, George? I think we're the good guys.
You say we, who are you referring to, Leo?
Like the Constitution, the way it was written,
mm-hmm.
and some of the values and ideals that are there in that Constitution. I don't want to have a government that, I already have it in a lot of ways. I'd like to think that I had the ability to elect my government. If I don't like it, I can throw the bums out.
Mm-hmm.
If you sign the Copenhagen Treaty, you're signing over your ability to have any control over the people that tax you and tell you what to do. Because they're not elected, they're just bureaucrats.
And they're European and global bureaucrats. They're not even American bureaucrats.
Yeah.
So it's like you got
the waste of the waste.
Yeah, the worst of the worst. And it's a frightening aspect. And
to me,
but, you know, I want to digress.
What's a frightening aspect is what we're going to be facing, because that is part of the sixth night, my friend.
Yeah.
That is going to play itself out. And think about that. You talk about the Constitution. Understand that our Constitution was suspended years ago, and the veil of the truth behind that is coming to the surface. The same is with understanding the monetary situation, where you have a private institution that actually runs the banking system, and, you know, it's at the bit of the government. The illusion now is being exposed for what it is.
Well, I hope that they're not one step in front of us, though. You see, what happens is people are beginning to understand these things.
Well, I'm sure they are one step ahead of us, but, you know, what moves that are making? And what scares me is that, you know, we're dealing with the same people who used part of this pandemic, you know, for their own profits, not only the pharmaceutical industries, but also for, controlling groups.
Oh, right.
Well, this is the same group that has thrown the Western world every periodically into chaos and into fighting wars. That's all they do.
Well, it's
and make money and
yeah.
make money.
We're the
and
fighting arm of the Illuminati, essentially.
We're the drones. We're the drones of the Illuminati. That's all we are. And
mm-hmm.
that's what those wonderful veterans are, and those young boys and young people that go overseas, who think they're patriotic, they're just drones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's very sad.
And unfortunately, there's more and more of them that are joining. I mean, they've reached all of their recruitment requirements for the last year.
Well, because there are no jobs in this country.
Right.
People are forced to, you know, you're living in poverty in a state where there's no opportunity at all, and the unemployment rate in this country now is 10%. It was more like 7%, I just heard, when Obama was elected, and there are pockets that are much higher than that, and those are artificial statistics that keep things artificially low.
Yeah, because hundreds of thousands of people right now are losing their unemployment benefits, aren't even going to be counted unemployed. So it's like, which is, you know, ridiculous. So, you know, it's much worse. In fact, I've read statistics of upwards of 15 to 17% right now that in this country that are unemployed and looking for work or even given up. But the thing is that I wanted to just mention, I wanted to go back a minute because I wanted to talk about what I spoke about last night on the show regarding, I read some of Lungo's transcript from his lecture. He said that in 2009 we would be in a state of bliss, okay? That we wouldn't really understand what we're doing, but we'd have to get accustomed to it, but we would be in a state of bliss.
I'm not feeling bliss.
I don't feel bliss either. And I sense that.
Call us if you're feeling bliss.
But Lungo, being the expert on the Mayan calendar, did say something else, that even though in 2009 we would be entering into a state of bliss where we, but he also said that in this time many people would be going insane. They would be virtually going insane. And
that's right.
Mm-hmm. He said that there are two areas that there's two things that people do when they go, you know, when this happens. He says either they
what happens?
Fight and flight. All right, fight or flight, or when you go nuts, when you get too much.
Well,
too
what's
much
causing
comes at
people
you,
to do that? You didn't say
too much. Too much information coming at them.
Mm-hmm.
Too much stress. Too many problems.
Their system goes on overload.
And so what happens is that, and he states that there's the flicker effect of where, yeah, the mind can only take in, can only have 24 frames per second that it can actually take in or process 24. Decisions or make 24 decisions at one time, you know, take that information in. But what's happening is you now have supercomputers that are taking in as much as 6 or 7 million bits of information at in 1 second, okay? And we are being flooded by information. And flooded by things that are going. This flood of information is sending us into this fight or flight sense, or we go unconscious. We become unconscious, and that unconsciousness is relating to drugs, antidepressants, of course, alcohol, reality shows. Dancing with the Stars, you know.
Or just you don't care.
Yeah, or just plain indifference, okay, and apathy. And that is the effect that he's saying is happening, will be happening in that six-night scenario, instead of six-day, six-night.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that's when you have one thing that you have to do, the only thing that you can do to keep your sanity, essentially, is to stay in the zone, okay, and trust your intuition,
mm-hmm,
over all other things, so that you and try to remain centered. And the people that can remain centered will the ones that will be able to ride this storm, knowing that there may be an end to this on October 28th, 2011. All right, and you only got another year or so before either you blow your mind completely. Or, you know, things, or you begin to understand your fourth dimensional ascension to a higher level of consciousness. And then, you know, you move on from there. And I sense that.
How do you move on?
What's that?
How do you move on?
Well, you just move on. You know.
But how do you move on?
You pick up and move on. You just go.
Let's try to backtrack on what he has to say about the sixth day and the sixth night. Understanding the experience that we had in the fifth day and the fifth night, what it did do is that it opened other channels of consciousness of relating to the outside world, and that simplified was the emotional body that we talked about. We have an intuitive mind, which is closed off in the world, and we have an emotional part of us, or mind consciousness, which is in touch with the outside world. So understanding this time of bliss in the sixth day and the sixth night, understand what people strive to do, to reach, they're experiencing right now. They're experiencing the zenith in their lives, or their aim or their intent for years before that, if it was money or if it was for other means. But now is the time. Now that is also dualistic in the sense where people right now would be leaving, let's say, this life, or even coming down with illnesses, or the bad parts of their experience of life is going to come back, and they're going to feel the ramifications of that. So, you know, either way, but it's through the emotional body that we experience it. Now, the sixth night is going to deal with the imaginary consciousness, which is not restricted by the physical nature. So it is like a dream state, or it could be a nightmare state. And by holding things together, it's your basic intent. I mean, where your heart is, that's where your mind will follow. It's not where your mind is, and your heart will follow. Because if it does that, it will totally destroy us, just like it's destroying everything around us now. And, you know, we try to hold on to, you know, the financial situation or look for repairs, but understand that, you know, it's due to go into, you know, an end cycle.
Well, what he also said, one goal that I'm quoting again, is that he said that in this time, what we have to understand is that, and possibly I'm beginning to understand what bliss means. I don't, bliss not in the sense of happiness, but more so in the fog, you know, bliss in confusion.
That isn't the definition.
I don't know, it's not, but it seems to be what the world is coming to. I don't know anybody who's in bliss unless they're, you know, overdosed or something. Yeah, but I don't know anybody who's in a blissful
state. Well, his
timing. No, well.
Correct.
Well, I think his timing was actually off by about a year in his prediction, because I noticed that he predicted 2006 and 2007 as the financial chaos, when actually it was 2008, 2009. And some of his predictions were off by about a year, it seemed, mathematically. So, you know, it could be next year or this coming, you know, year would be that state when, as we gradually merge into that dimensional reality.
But, right? Leo, you know, it's not a mistake. There is no, even though he may think that it's a year off, it's not.
Well, I don't know.
That's his prediction.
That's his prediction, yeah.
Well, the Mayans kept the most accurate calendar of time, charts of time, than all the other civilizations that we still have records from.
Yeah, but if you forget to carry the one, man, you might be 6 months or a year off. And it's like, you know.
That
maybe,
was
maybe
Lungol,
that,
not
that,
the
yeah,
Mayans.
That was Lungol basing his thing on Coleman's chart and so on. But, you know. I mean, I'm not begrudging the guy for being a year off. I mean, he was pretty darn close on everything else. He was right on, all right. But as far as I can understand, it seems like he's a year off in his prediction, and
for this
for this period. Now, you may be right. I mean, this is a period where the sixth day, sixth night, but what actually is occurring seems to be a year ahead, and more so what's, you know, what he predicted for the sixth, I don't know, for the fifth day, more was off by about a year, and the sixth night, the sixth day, and so on, fifth night, sixth day. So we're, maybe I'm off, but I mean, as far as I can see from everything that that's happening, this could be off by 6 months. And so what if it's off by 6 months? I mean, you know, I don't begrudge the guy. In fact, he's dead, so he doesn't have. You know, but he was damn accurate. And so, I mean, if you go back to Nostradamus or these other guys, I mean, they were pretty much they were predicting 2000 as a end of the world kind of scenario, or 1999. You know, so it's like, and they were off. You know.
Yeah. So, well, I've been following Lumgold's materials. And he seems pretty much on the money, because it's not really what he has to say. It's what the records show, and, you know, just the logic in the breakdown of the Mayan understanding. I think it's fantastic, but I do believe that we are right on target, and a target for some end. And it's not only the Mayans, but it's other understandings that are using that data also. The I Ching of the Chinese, and I believe Terence McKenna in Understanding Novelty. He also followed algorithms, you know, of cultural heights and lows, and he comes in 2012. So, I would stick with that 2012 as an accurate focus.
No, it's not that I doubt the 2012. I don't doubt the time frame. What I doubt is the predictions of what he predicted would be happening at this moment. And what he said, and I can quote you, because I read it last night, was he stated that we are now in 2009, we would be in a state of bliss,
mm-hmm.
right? And we would be trying to understand that. That novelty, if you will, or that new feeling, that new emotion that we're dealing with.
But Leo, I think that we are experiencing bliss.
Not me.
Maybe not you, but I think us as humans. I think that we are at a state, the height of our experience.
I don't know.
I would say. I'm in a state of bliss, I think, in comprehending and just being part of this experience.
I'm hoping that we go a lot further than this. And
you remember, you know what they say, you know, watch what you pray for or you dream for, because it may come true.
Yeah. Well,
that basically is what's going to happen. Whatever you dream or wherever you put your intent, that will manifest.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. But at the same time, I just, for some reason, don't. I don't feel the bliss, you know. And I just went back to this, and I was just going to try to read it. To read this very this. Thing that he said.
Can you read a section on that?
Just a small section, because it described 2009. There it is. He says, in 2009, it will be a time of getting used to bliss. It's going to take some practice. We have been so involved in everything going wrong that we are going to have to get used to being able to create things going right. It's going to be like learning to walk or live all over again. And this all leads towards what we are talking about right here, and then which you know relates to the all these things that happened, have been happening. And he says George Bush was doing it. George Bush and all his cronies were doing exactly what were doing a great job in that they were bringing the world basically to an end. And then he says on October 28, 2011, the end of the Mayan calendar, when we are consciously co-creating our experience, time travel is all in here too.
Mm-hmm.
If you can travel in time anywhere you want, what good is a calendar? And the whole idea of time and space goes extinct in orientation. That's what's in our future. You have this hump to get over with the governments and the economy, he says. And if time travel becomes normal, you are saying, that's essentially what he was talking about. And, yeah, he's saying that we have to get over this, but this period of government and whatnot. But, I really question his issue on bliss, or what is bliss.
No. Well, look at it in evolution, time travel. Before you can experience time travel, you have to experience the experience of going through the extreme, because you would go through one extreme to another, just experiencing that. So right now it's acclimating the body and the mind, to put yourself in that type of an environment. So in that type of an environment means that whatever you think, it's going to manifest, but it's going to manifest wholly, and you would be part of it. So it's going through the cycle of learning that with this ability that you do have, it's actually coordinating your consciousness to integrate with a non-time type of reality. So in understanding this polarity experience of the fifth day, the fifth night, breaking it down into, the emotional body or the subconscious mind, here you're experiencing. It's just like we're experiencing now somewhat of a daydream, or we're experiencing a dream, but a waking dream. It's converting our next period into doing it on a mental level, but also experiencing it on a different level of reality.
Yeah, I guess so.
In understanding time, time is just part of a third dimensional exhibit. In order for us to traverse time, we have to disavow our connections with the third dimension or third dimensional reality.
Yeah, I guess so, George. I really don't know. I mean, I think that I'm crossing over into a fourth dimensional state, certain things seem to be dreamlike. But
Leo, you got to remember, Leo, that you're only remembering something you already know. And, you don't get locked up in, who you are, what you are. You're creating the reality around you, and you can believe it if you want. But I would say if you look at that, take a look at the ability that you do have. And even in our state of consciousness, all you have to do is tap into a thought, and you can experience that thought, but also you can be part of that thought. And that's part of the reality that we are attaching ourselves to. And that is part of, you'd want to call it the unity consciousness, where instead of doing it individually, it's with a unity group that you experience it.
I agree with that, George, to an extent. But again, I have to go back to my Thursday night show. And we were talking about the collective psychosis, and that is a great problem, in that the unity consciousness concept is a wonderful idea. If everybody comes to an individual enlightenment at the same time, regarding love, peace, promise, hope, all this, but if people come to a unity consciousness, which is essentially becomes more of a unity psychosis, okay, where everybody starts believing in death, war, fear, paranoia, and so on. then it becomes a pandemic of apocalyptic proportions. And
the body reacts to that.
Exactly, and then we go into that realm. So we have to either, I mean, if it has to be done on an individual basis, all right, where everybody synchronicity develops, or you know, it can go the opposite way as well. When you know, war and fear and pandemics and all of these other things, where everything is leading into this, feeding into this apocalyptic vision of death and destruction, as opposed to what apocalypse actually means, which is the unveiling. That's what apocalypse means, and the unveiling, and the unveiling of the truth. The unveiling of, reality.
That'll be the end of bliss.
Yeah.
Well, let me say one thing about, this unity understanding. And if you take a look at yourself, Leo, or Lila, mm-hmm. You are a unity of cells and things together.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you are. There's a unity among who you are and what you are.
Great.
And if you take a look at all the different organs of the bodies, I mean, they work in unity with one another.
Correct.
And if they did work separate of one another, they would have some problems. And, of course, that would create problems not only for themselves but for the rest of the system.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying that in understanding unity consciousness, you are made up of unity consciousness. And it's a matter of tapping into larger unity consciousness that exists, instead of a close and selective understandings, just like with a body. When you have that, you have disassociation with, the movement of the consciousness around it.
Well, I sense that there has to be some form of quantum synchronicity here, some form of...
Sure, yeah.
Definitely, that somewhere, somehow everybody is tapping in to this concept. But at the same time, we have to understand that we also have to tap into the understanding of the evil that there exists in these thoughts, in these concepts, and in the movements that are pushing these negative thoughts into our.
All right, what would your purpose be in drawing that out?
Sorry.
The negative aspects of that.
What is your focus? Why did you say that?
Why did you say that?
Why did I say what?
About the negative aspects.
The negative aspects of a thought or, of an idea.
Well, the reason for that is because there are the negative aspects.
All right. Okay, fine. What about the good aspects?
Well, the good aspects are there as well, which is the ones I'm saying we have to focus upon.
But why are you focusing on the bad ones?
Because it exists, George.
So? Okay.
Place. It's coming
Stop
at
yelling.
Us from every
Stop
side
yelling.
of our
Stop
existence.
Yelling.
I will.
Stop That's
yelling.
Right. That's
yelling,
right.
But the problem is it's coming from everywhere, George. It's coming
That's
from
right.
part of our existence. So, and it is part of our existence that we have to deny in order to rise above this, instead of going into this void.
You can't deny it, Leo. Why would you want to deny it?
Well, I have to deny it because if I accept it for what it is and gravitate toward it, then I'll be it's a darkness that I don't want to be in.
All right, but you have that choice. Just because it's there doesn't mean you have to act upon it.
No, that's true. But what I'm saying is that I've been there. I've been in those dark places, and I don't ever want to be there again.
Okay, then how do you train yourself or think of yourself as not going there again?
I don't want to be there, and I don't go. And the minute I recognize myself going back or going toward or gravitating to or starting to listen or be affected by that, I pull away immediately. I don't want to be there.
Okay.
So, I resist it at all costs because it's not a place because I – know myself. I know enough to know that I've been there. I know where it leads.
I understand that, Leo. but understand that it played a very important role in your thinking because it gave you a choice, which was an individual choice, which was not of its nature.
I agree with you, George, on that.
So, you know, if nothing else, out of compassion, you can look at it as being part of a unity in a quantum reality where, you know, there are all sides of the factor or of the light or of the thought. And it's not one is stronger than the other or more than the other. It's part of it. So,
George, I can't agree with you there because based upon where we are, based upon what's happening, you know, if we accept that part of ourselves, then we become that part, and we take it on. It's a tail of a dragon that we don't want to be, all right? And even Lungol stated this in its ethic period. In this ethics period, we are supposed to be ridding ourselves of these. Of these parts of ourselves that we're
right.
supposed to be ridding our consciousness of these addictions, of these obsessions, of these possessions, and that is where we're leading, and that's where we're supposed to go. But we have to go there based upon based upon our own enlightenment. Paranormal.
Yeah, but what do you do when you get there, though, Leo? And I think, you know, that's the stumbling point that you keep forgetting. You got to go on beyond that.
I said that. And, you know, this is what, in fact, paranormally speaking, thanks for lending this insight here. He says, there's a difference between acknowledging it and living in it. And he says
it's
shadow
the
effect,
place.
Has anyone seen that? And yeah, a dark place. He's right. You know that's correct. There is a difference, and you have to acknowledge it because if you don't, and if you take it on, and it leads you in the wrong direction, it leads you downwards, or it leads you into peril, and you may not see it.
Well, maybe it's all in recognizing what it would. What? How much does it take for you to recognize that it being a duck? If it walks like a duck, then talks like a duck.
Well, the problem is. You may be a duck, okay? And that's what this article that I was reading the last three nights, based on the We Are Possessed, states that what we do is we are a part of the, we take on the all of the characteristics of this archetype that, you know, or this demon or the demonic entity, all right, that comes to us. I mean, they're always there. They're always coming at us. But we accept them. Either we become a voluntary vessel to them, or we are fooled by them. And we, you know, our ego is it, because it's an empowering state that we take on these certain aspects of these demons. And it can be possessed. We can be possessed if we want to be, if we're not aware of that danger. All right? And what I'm saying is that unless you see and know and accept that there is a dark or a shadow effect or a shadow that you have to do that's part of you, all right, then you accept that shadow and become that shadow and it overtakes the light. And you don't want that to happen, all right? You always want to be striving toward the light. You always want to be striving toward enlightenment, all right?
Well, look at Leo. That's not always true because there are some people that go toward the dark, and it's their right to do that. You can't tell them what yours is better than theirs. It's not your right.
What? I have every right to do what I want to do.
Sure you do. Sure, and they have every right to do what they want to do,
no,
regardless of what you think or what he thinks.
This is what I was saying. It's an individual enlightenment.
Okay.
Not a group think so much. Everybody has to come to that place in their own way. Okay?
That's right.
If somebody wants to be a Satanist and you know, cut up babies and you know, kill people and commit genocide and, you know, bloodlust, then that's their gig.
Oh,
that's what they do. Okay,
yeah.
I'm not into that. Okay, And I personally feel it's wrong. And I would avoid anybody and anything that, you know, advocates that. So as far as my enlightenment, fine. If their enlightenment is to be that way, if that's what they feel, like the dark force, you know, or whatever, then let them be, you know. But stay the hell away from me, and don't expect me to accept that. All right.
Well,
especially if they're going to kill me. All right, or my family, or anyone that I, you know. As far as I'm concerned.
Well, you would bring that on to begin with, so, you know, it's your attachment to it that holds it, that's all.
To say, George, I don't think so. I mean, people are brought, this stuff is brought upon.
No, Leo, I say you're the one that is bringing it to yourself and holding on to it.
Well, I'm not holding on to it.
Yes, you are.
Oh.
Sure you are.
I cast it out. I don't want it.
Yeah, then why are you making it your own personal battle then?
Because I have to continually fight this out.
All right, so what I'm saying is that you're the one that's been continuing this. Nobody else.
You
bring it upon yourself.
Sorry, George, you're not fighting it, and everybody else in the world's not fighting that?
No, I'm not.
Living in bliss?
Would you just stop a minute and let someone else get a word in edgewise? If I can just interject for a moment.
Go right ahead, Derek.
Perhaps you're talking about the law of attraction, that what you focus on is what you bring to yourself. But
yeah.
There's a difference between focusing on something and just recognizing something for what it is and moving forward. That's how I see it.
And once you recognize it, what should you do with it? What do you do with it?
Well, I think you, for me, I can only speak for myself personally. If I recognize something like that, I focus on what my goal is and move forward and hope that that stuff goes away from me because I'm not focusing on it and attracting it to myself.
Well, paranormally speaking, just wrote on the chat room there, he says, each personality trait has a purpose. The key is balance. Sometimes we need to be stern, maybe even a jerk, in order to get what we need to get done. And I agree with him. I mean, but at the same time, we do have to be jerks in relation to things that don't want to enter our lives.
Right, but, you know, there comes a limit, though. How much time do you give it? Now, take a look at what's going on right now with this vaccine hype that's going around. People are afraid to take this vaccine because of the virus that it will attach itself to them.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, what happened is that they created a shortage where people, you know, are crawling over one another to get it. But first of all, understand that once you have the vaccine, the virus or the germ is out there. And it's among the people. So we have been affected by it. And there's nothing we can do now about the distribution of this or whatever because it's out. So it's not looking at who should get it and who doesn't have it and so forth. It's too late for that because it's out. And we'll see where this takes us at this point. So it's going one step above it, one step with it, following it, instead of sitting back and pointing at a finger, you should do this and you should do that. In the meanwhile, you know, it's going to get ahead of you. And that's what's happening. And
well,
that is
all you could do up to this point is advise people to get the best and the most information that they could get and then try to make the best decision that they could for themselves and their family.
Mm-hmm.
Not to accept generally what they hear on the mass media, but to look a little further, look at other, you know, other medical, alternative medical sources. We in particular gave out different websites for people to look at to understand what the content of the vaccine is, and then make a decision based on information, not on emotional hype.
Oh yeah, and if you look
and
at
that's all you can do to help.
And if you look at the statistics of 1 in 444 children, okay. Become autistic, and if you look at the fact that those children were all received these vaccinations, and you find out that
with
the,
mercury in them,
and they were all had mercury in them, and they were all linked to and vaccine and autism was linked to this. Okay, to this mercury. All right. Now that mercury is still in these vaccines. In fact, the FDA has allowed these drug companies to even increase the level of mercury in their in these vaccines, including squalene, which is a known carcinogen and a known and is known to give the to create this other disease, this paralysis. You know, and
Guillain-Barré,
right?
Guillain-Barré,
right? And yet they're allowing this to happen. They're throwing in live virus in you, okay, and expecting you to build up that immunity. I mean, I can easily walk around and catch the virus myself. Why do I need someone to inject it in me? You know what I mean? The only time I ever took a flu shot, George, the only time I ever took a flu shot, I got the flu, all right? Now, I had gotten the flu regularly. I had always gotten a regular flu virus, you know, every couple of years or so. But I'll never forget the time that I got that damn flu shot, all right? Within a week, I came down with a flu, all right? And so I never bothered taking another flu shot.
You know, it's not a lose-lose situation. There's some salvation here somewhere. And, you know, I have to go back, I think, and really believe that we have the ability to turn things around on a personal level, individual level. And I think what we've talked about in the last couple of years about our DNA is changing. Everything about us is changing. Where, you know, our thoughts can change the world or even change our DNA and genes within within our life cycle. And I think with the technology that Greg Braden has brought out with his materials along with Bruce Lipton in the Genome Factor, that we have the ability now to just touch base with our own DNA and activate the genes that we need to protect ourselves from this. And, you know, years ago I thought about, some of the sicknesses that was coming from Long Island, I think because of the nuclear power plant that was there, you know, with Brookhaven Laboratories.
Yeah.
I mean, they found with young children that there was a high percentage of leukemia, I believe.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think from a mental point of view, you know, I thought, well, look at maybe body or myself, or maybe there's some way I can protect myself. And if it's in my ability to do it, you know, please activate or do what you have to do. And, you know, this is part of my understanding that, you know, my I am different than my body, and my body has a life and a mind of its own in a sense, and it's geared towards survival, even though we work together. But it knows things that I don't know about, and yet sometimes, you know, I leave it to myself to tell me what's good for me and what's not good for me. But I believe that my body, or I am able to activate genes that will protect me on some of these things that, you know, it's a lose-lose situation from a conceptual point of view.
So, in fact, you ask your body to do what it needs to do, to please work with me, to help me through this difficult time.
Yeah, well.
You must.
I give my body credit just for staying alive and putting up with, you know, just life in general. So I try to live with it, and
well,
it tells me.
It's like the planet, you know. There was all this hype about global warming, and,
mm-hmm.
of course, you know, everybody jumped on, well, not everybody, a lot of people, but many people in the media jumped on that bandwagon. And what they've really found, the truth is that our planet is very resilient.
And not only that, we're going into a cold spell, and we're not even going into a warming spell.
It's amazing what our planet can do to
mm-hmm.
survive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it has survived the abuse of humanity so far.
And many times over, I'm sure. You know, it's not a young planet, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And
very interesting that I was reading the other day that they discovered a few more planets out there with solar systems and everything else, larger planets than Earth, but planets that have their own solar systems. And interesting. You wonder
It wouldn't surprise me, you know. And even on an internal level, you know, I believe people are actually hooking up with computers mentally, and that is where our technology is, where people are actually able to communicate with the PCs.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a good part of it. But I really think people are communicating telepathically as well, and I think this is becoming even more so. And as I start seeing this large swell of synchronized thinking, where people globally are beginning to feel the same way and understand the same things, and I'm starting to see these polls, which are fascinating, and the polls seem to be acknowledging the same things, these national polls that they're taking. There's suddenly being a shift, a total shift in consciousness and awareness. And it's not coming from the mainstream media, believe me. It doesn't seem to be. You know, it's coming from other areas. It's either coming from internet exposure or just people understanding, basically understanding that things are wrong, and they're looking and seeing what's wrong. And they're starting to blame the right people, which is their congressmen, their government.
All right, Leo, let me say something if I would. Lila, we'll get back to your question before. But, Leo, we talked about this a while ago. In part of the fifth day and fifth night is getting in touch with that emotional body.
Yep.
Being an empath, it's very easy for me because before anybody says anything, you know, I'm reading their thoughts or I'm feeling what they're feeling before they even say it. And that is part of what people in general have been experiencing, that now they're feeling people or they're feeling emotions or they're feeling things before they happen. What's happening is that you're experiencing this, but you're experiencing the impact either positively or negatively and reacting to it before the person even says it. So that's what's happening.
It goes back to what Longwell said, in that he said, it's the intuition. You have to trust your intuition. And he says, and that's what people are trusting more and more. He says,
yes, but also a change in the way they're thinking to incorporate that.
But he says, forget the mind. The mind is a tool. He says, until you acknowledge the fact that the mind is a tool, he says, You will always be confused. You will never be on the right track. You will never be able to take in enough information. Whereas intuitively, as well as what you're saying, emotionally, he mentions the heart and he says mm-hmm. the emotions. But he says unless you can take it in that way, and trust your intuition,
mm-hmm.
all right, he says you'll be completely confused. He says, you wind up becoming unconscious because the mind cannot take in that much information or accept
That's going back to all those frames per second that we
can't, right.
And causes you to sort of blank out.
Right, but at the same time,
mm-hmm.
we're not only those intellectual stimulation, but we're now experiencing emotional and stress and not a visual but again quantum a quantum barrage of input. You know, things are coming from us in all directions, information that we just can't compute. So the only way that we can handle it is by accepting it intuitively, understanding and believing our center self and knowing what's right and wrong and accepting that and then moving on and hopefully moving on into the right, onto the right
I definitely agree with that. I did want to go back though to what you said about technology, George.
Yes.
And you said you mentioned something about interacting with the computer.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I wanted to pick up on that. And just exactly what did you mean by that? I didn't hear. I didn't really understand fully what your thought was on that.
Well, technology, where we are, you know, I think for the last 10 years or so, we've been integrating, you know, our consciousness with silicon or with a computer chip.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, understanding where we've gone, you know, with that, with nanotechnology.
Right.
I was watching a show which they talked about artificial arms and legs and so forth.
Right.
But they're using microchips in there, which the mind itself has actually tapped into that microchip, and that will react to stimuli, you know, whatever the brain puts on that. So, you know, this is part of the technology that we've integrated our consciousness with silicone to that point where we're using it for these apparatuses, all types of apparatuses.
I know that the military is... Well, I don't know. I from a few articles that I read, not recently, but a few years back, that the military was doing a lot of exploration in that area in order to produce a more efficient soldier.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I haven't come across any articles within the last year on that, which
mm-hmm.
makes me think that they're doing a lot of work on it.
Well, I read something recently. I was reading the Montauk series there. And Peter Moon mentioned in that the development of the Delta Force,
yes,
that the elite Illuminati soldier, all right, they've been abducted since they were when they were children. They were abducted basically and missing children and so on and taken into these camps, okay, trained, and they used to brutalize them. Now I guess they've changed their techniques, but they've created this elite force that are almost like the SS, you know, and where they, you know, the Hitler's SS, where they are an elite killing force, and they agree. They will follow these directions, and not only that, but they are implanted with microchips to
mm-hmm.
To become to override their own instincts and to you know, push on with the directive that they've been given, and so they already have this, and they're called the Delta Force, and it's just interesting they've already been. Assimilated into the regular military.
Since we aren't having much success, it mustn't be working.
Well, there's not as many as the Navy, and there's not as many as they need. Okay?
Oh, okay.
let's back up for a minute and just look at the ramifications of the integration of these two things and what it is human consciousness and artificial life. Or maybe not artificial life, a different life, a form of life, and that is silicone.
Right.
Well, there was a fascinating movie.
That's fascinating to me.
Would that, George, be like having an artificial split personality?
Well, you know, it's not something that's artificial because silicone is a living substance, but it's on a much different wavelength, and of course it also vibrates on not on a time cycle that we're used to, but you know it's integrating just a connection with us, and with us I'm sure it will help us overcome this time travel question that we've had for years, and I must say before 2012. You know, this must come to fruition, and the ideas of the Philadelphia Experiment, the Montauk Project, whatever belief systems you have.
George,
you know,
I have to interrupt you for a second. We only got 45 seconds left to the show. Anybody who wants to remain to listen to this program, please call in 646-915-9505, and we'll put you right on, or you can listen to the remainder of the program. But
or you can listen to it on the archive.
But I just wanted people to know that we have less than 6 seconds remaining. So 646-915-9505. Thank you for joining us, and good night. So we've lost.
And, you know, following on that theme of things that must complete themselves, you know, if you take a look at organized religions and so forth, that's come into view. And it's going to be an interesting six nights, that's for sure.
Oh, I agree with you, George, and I'm looking forward in some ways to seeing what happens.
Uh-huh.
But I am very interested in the integration of artificial life, another life form with our own.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to see it not used for war, but used for a better purpose. That would be wonderful if we do.
Well, you know, the Mayans talked about now is a time where we will make connections with our galactic neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
So
and
you mentioned before about new solar systems around stars and so forth. You know, it's not only acknowledging that, but also taking it one step further, you know, with actual contact. And, you know, I do believe that's part of the game that's being experienced. I mean, we will experience that, I'm sure. But I think in watching the UFO community, I see right now what they've been doing is trying to position themselves when the full acknowledgement comes to being. And I think it's only a matter of months now. But I really feel the true connection, a meeting with them, is going to be probably next spring.
Really?
The end of winter, spring, yeah. I just get the feeling about that, but I think, you know, there may be shows going on between now and then.
Well, you know what brought back on television? Bringing back the Series V.
Oh, yeah, that was fun. It was funny, I should say.
Yeah, they're bringing it back, and I just saw an ad for it.
Oh, they've had a lot of ads.
Recently, yeah.
Yes, they have a lot of ads on
it. That was a good series. It was really fun.
So that should be interesting. And, I'd really like to pick up our conversation the next time that we're on, exploring more about alien issues, George. And I think that would be a good place to pick up and go forward. And also the integration of technology with human life.
Uh-huh.
I think that'd be a good place, and I think we're going to see more of that.
I think we've had integrated a lot of our latest technology was part of the alien stuff, but you know we've had this stuff for a good number of years. We really have, and I think now it's going to be coming out into the open. I mean, projects that have been running 20 years ago now are being exposed for what they are, but. We're going to see more of it, you know, even with the military. They've been doing a lot of research and development dealing with this technology. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's interesting. So, anyway, we're right at the end of our show.
But
it was really interesting talking to you, George, and it was very great discussion.
Yeah.
Even though I feel like Leo is yelling, and I'm sitting right next to him.
I apologize.
He feels like he has to yell when he's making his point.
I didn't know I was yelling, actually.
Oh, my God, Leo. We have this very tiny room, and for some reason he gets very energetic and decides to yell, and I think, he thinks he's yelling to you way up there in New York.
Well, actually, it's because I'm on a speakerphone, and I feel I have to speak louder.
I think George can hear you without yelling.
Sorry. Yes.
Yeah,
so we look forward to talking with you soon, George.
Okay, I'll be with you folks, and thanks for having me.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us, and please tell your friends and to get on to the archives. Right after. And good night.